We're getting tips and tricks on how to get your home organized and keep it that way through 2023. Getting started on decluttering and organizing can be extremely overwhelming, so we have two professional organizers here to help us. How can they help get control of your home's chaos? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. What are your methods for decluttering? How do you even let go of stuff? We want to hear your ideas. And once you've decluttered, how do you go about keeping it that way? 1-800-642-1234 to join our conversation, or you can always email us, ideas@WPR.org. Casey Fregoso is a professional organizer and the founder of Bracket and Bin Organizing based in Madison, Wisconsin. Casey, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And Kate Fisher is a certified professional organizer and the founder of The Neatest, based in Durham, North Carolina, where she relocated after living in Madison for 7 years. Kate, welcome back to Wisconsin.
It's so great to be back. Thanks for having me.
And let's start with just an overview or some philosophy. Before we get into specifics, I'd like to hear each of your philosophies on home and what you think a home should feel like and look like and be organized for. Casey, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so my philosophy on a home is that it's just kind of your sanctuary. It's the place you should be able to go when everything else kind of gets chaotic and overwhelming, like outside of your home. So for me, the biggest thing is making your home being like very comfortable. You want to make sure it doesn't bring more stress and more chaos. It should be a place kind of as your refuge. That's what I would think your home should be.
A sanctuary and a refuge. Kate?
Oh, I echo what she says 100%. You know, your home is where you feel safe and it's where you just want to be. So so when you are in a situation where you feel a little bit cluttered or like things need to change, it makes it feel a little less like your home. So that's where we step in.
And how do we set some goals for the organizing, decluttering, and keeping it that way? Kate, how do we go about that?
Setting goals. Well, I mean, so the goals that I typically come across when I meet new clients are that they want better functionality. Sometimes they want beauty. Sometimes it's just as general as make it less bad. or just like get rid of stuff. So your goal can be super simple. It doesn't have to be something that is uber specific.
And Casey, give us some idea of how we can set goals and decide what we want to change in our homes.
Yeah. So a good way to set a goal is to, I think the first thing to do is kind of be a little bit introspective and think of ways that you can avoid like your own pitfalls. So if you're someone who likes to create piles on every open surface in your home, like with junk mail, books, etc., it's probably best that you try to remove extra like entry tables that you don't necessarily need. Or if you have like a chair in your bedroom that you pile all your clothes onto, maybe just get rid of that if you're never really sitting in it. So I think making goals that pertain to specific rooms and then trying to create systems that can help maintain those goals.
So I have a chair in my bedroom that I've actually never sat on, but all my clothes have fallen there at one point or another. It's basically another dresser. What would you recommend I do with it?
Yeah. So I would just say, take it out of that room, put it in a room that you would actually sit in it. Or I would just say, get rid of it completely, donate it or toss it, because it's just like a clutter magnet then. And then anything that really goes into the chair, if it's like, oh, it's not dirty, but it's not clean clothes, because I know that's what people usually put on their chairs. maybe come up with another system of like a basket in your closet that you can rewear, or make a habit of hanging it back up or folding it and putting it back in the drawer it belongs in.
That was my very next question. If I get rid of the chair, where will my clothes go?
You got to find a spot.
Our guest, our professional organizer, is Casey Fregoso and Kate Fisher, joining us to help you declutter and stay organized through 2023. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 and your thoughts at email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to Kathy in Madison. Kathy, you're on the air.
Well, hi. So my issue is I'm one of those clutterers. But my stuff has got value, and if I sell it like on eBay or something, then it's considered earned income, I think. And that would be a concern for me because I'm on Obamacare. They look at my income carefully for my premiums. So what do you do in that situation? Is there a way of getting money for your stuff you don't use anymore that you know is valuable, but not getting taxed again on it?
Interesting. So cluttering, you've got stuff that's worth stuff. It's worth something. And if you were to sell it on eBay, it would be an income for you and you'd be taxed on that. So I guess this falls under decluttering. And Kate Fisher, I'll ask you, what do we need to consider when it comes to declutter, especially when we're considering that the stuff that we have has value?
Well, okay. So first of all, when you go to sell something, I mean, there are lots of outlets on eBay, or if it's closed, you can take things around to secondhand stores and whatnot. But you've got to set a time, like a date on your calendar, and just say, be very real with yourself and say, if I have not sold it by this date, that, or I have not made an effort to sell it, then I probably am not going to do that. And so it still just becomes clutter in your house and it's still not valuable. But deciding what stays and what goes is a very personal thing. And, you know, you want to think about things like frequency of use. You know, have you used it in the last year or 5 years? is it broken? Is it gross? Would you actually fix it? And that's another thing where you set a date on your calendar, and if it hasn't been fixed, you get rid of it. Do you like it? You know, a big thing that's around is Spark Joy, you know, from Marie Kondo. And I think that she's fantastic. And, you know, I don't maybe not necessarily think of it as spark joy, but just, do you like it? You know, is it a coffee mug with a handle that's too thin, or is something chipped, or is it something that somebody gave you that you don't really like anymore, like that person? So you don't have to feel obligated to keep things that are freebies or things that people gave you.
And I can totally see where Kathy's coming from. But Casey Fragoso, I'll follow up with you how we get through some of these emotions of decluttering and the guilt that can come with getting rid of things that mean something to you or have memories associated with them, that if I were to get rid of these things, I would worry my memories might go with them as well.
Yeah, I do have a lot of people, honestly, like when deciding to become organized, I always say start with things that you're not so attached to. So a good go-to place is like either the junk drawer or your pantry, because usually people aren't attached to like a can of beans. So you can decide if it's expired. It's easy to get rid of. So I always say start there, because then you can start learning the process of it before you get into the things that you have sentimental attachments to. But when it comes to sentimental attachments, kind of what Kate was saying too, I think it's really not beneficial or healthy to keep things out of obligation just because, oh, so-and-so got this for me. But yeah, like she said, like we don't talk anymore, or we're not friends, or I just don't like it. Like I love the person, but what they gave me is not something I like. So I think just, yeah, like being introspective and real with yourself and letting yourself know, like, maybe I don't need to hang on to this. You can even have like a maybe bucket where you're like, I think I want to get rid of this, put it all in there, maybe hide it for a little timer, go off and say, I'm going to come revisit this and see if it is still something that I could live without. But just letting yourself, like being kind to yourself and understanding that you don't have to keep things that you don't want, even if, you know, society or, you know, your family is like, why are you getting rid of that? It is your life. It's your home. You want to make it what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. And if I could jump in, there is a thing that I like to call the purgatory box that I've created with a few of my Madison clients. So hi, if you're out there, you know who you are. But what I call a purgatory box is for those things that you really are having a tough time making a decision with. And so you put it in an opaque box and label it purgatory. And then you put a date on your calendar with a little reminder that says, what's in the purgatory box? If you can remember what's in there, you're allowed to keep it. And if you can't remember what's in there, then you take it straight to Goodwill.
Oh, that's so a maybe bucket or a purgatory box. Both of those tools could help you decluttering. And we're talking with professional organizers Kate Fisher, founder of The Neatest, and Casey Fregoso, founder of Bracket and Bin Organizing. And we're talking about how to get your home decluttered and organized in the new year. And we want to hear from you here at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our professional organizers this afternoon? What methods have you found that work for you or don't work? Have you tried the purgatory box or the maybe bucket? Join us, 1-800-642-1234. Email us, ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, in for Rob Ferret, and we're picking up our conversation with professional organizers Kate Fisher of The Neatest and Casey Fregoso of Bracket and Bin Organizing. They're sharing tips on how to organize your home and keep it that way, and we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. What do you need to know about how you can keep organized throughout the new year here? You can also email us, ideas@WPR.org, or call 1-800-642-1234. Okay, Casey Fregoso, now we have decluttered. What's the first step in beginning to organize?
Yeah, so my biggest, or the biggest thing I see people make the mistake of buying right away. I mean, I guess once you've decluttered, you can definitely measure and put the bins in there. But just before you declutter, make sure you don't go out and purchase a bunch of new bins, just because you're going to have even more clutter to the organization that you're trying to get to. But once you've decluttered and you're ready to organize, you'll want to kind of categorize everything so that you know what categories you have, where they're going to live, like on your shelf or in your closet, in your cabinets, and then you can come up with ways to keep them. So if you want to get a bin or just like shelf dividers, I think it just depends what you're organizing, and you want to keep thinking outside of the box. You don't have to do everything in the same type of bin or everything looking the same. And do you have any other tips, Kate?
Oh, sure. I think the accessibility is super important, you know, and think about how often you use something. So the things that you use the most often are going to need to be within easy reach. And, you know, so think about, do I use it every day, every week, every month? And then the easiest way to go from that is, what do I hardly ever use? And that's the stuff that you're going to want to put in the nooks and crannies that are deep recesses and whatever. And then you fill in between. But always make sure that the stuff that you wear the most, use the most, is within easy reach.
Let's go back to your calls now at 1-800-642-1234. Joyce and Madison, good afternoon.
Hi. This is Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Okay. I have an unusual thing. I have quite a bit of antique clothing that my dear grandmother saved, and I don't want it anymore, but I'd rather donate it, like, to a historical society or something. And what is the general way to get in touch with, like, not Wisconsin Historical Society? I would feel comfortable with that, but like Illinois Historical Society. Have you got any recommendations?
Interesting, Joyce. And it's another question about the value of things that we have that you know, may have value to others, and how to share that value with others. Casey, any ideas?
I think Kate has an idea.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in everything, but what I do when I have a client that has something very specific is I, as a professional organizer, reach out to my network of people and say, hey, because I'm in an association, the National Association of Professional Organizers and Productivity Specialists. It's really awesome. And so I message out to them and say, hey, guys, what do you think? And usually there are lots of responses. And so what I would do is reach out to a professional organizer in your area, you know, maybe reach out to Casey, or if you want to contact me after the show, I can help you. Finding a specific resource for you is really important, and I rely on vetted resources from other professionals.
Yeah, I appreciate that call, Joyce, as well as the response. And let's continue with this. We'll go now to Ann in Duluth. Ann, good afternoon. You're on the air with Kate Fisher and Casey Fregoso.
Hi, just before you came on the air, I was walking around part of my living room with a box, picking up my grandchildren's toys that they no longer play with. I tried to have them help me decide what to keep and what to give away, but they were hoarders and they took some of it home. So I decided to act on my own. And I'm sure their mom doesn't appreciate it. But my main point that I called about is this. I would really rather give my things away to somebody who needs them than have them sitting in a drawer where I may or may not use them again. And we have a center here that provides meals for people, clothing. They have a clothing room for people who are trying to get a job. They have they accept toys and clothing for children. And I never feel bad getting rid of my stuff when I know it's going directly to help someone.
Oh, I very much appreciate that perspective. And Casey Fregoso, there is this decluttering, this organizing, it all comes with these feelings we have that if we get rid of this stuff, we're getting rid of something that could be useful to others or that has value to others or it's got value to me. And sometimes the disorganization comes with that feeling of dread and, oh my gosh, it's just chaos over here. How do you deal with the feelings as a professional organizer?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a saying with professional organizers, like it's not just about the stuff. It's always the stuff underneath the stuff. So I always make sure I'm going at the pace of my client. We never want to go too fast and kind of push past all of the attachments we have to things. So I just tell them to kind of take it step by step, you know, start with the simple things. If you feel like it has a lot of value, but you know your family, you or your family aren't going to use it, kind of like the caller said too, like Ann said, you can look for donations, like donation centers, local shelters. I mean, daycares will sometimes take some old toys that are gently used. You can definitely think of other places to bring those things to. And it does make you feel better inside because now you know somebody else is benefiting from it. That thing is living another life with somebody else. And I think that helps create less feeling of like dread when you're getting rid of things.
It's Casey Fregoso from Bracket and Bin Organizing. Also joining us, Kate Fisher from The Neatest. And you can join us as well at 1-800-642-1234. And Kate, I understand you specialize in your expertise is people with ADHD. What tips can you share for decluttering and organizing for people who have ADHD?
Okay, so I've got it. My daughter has it. and it's a very passionate subject of mine. But typically, I mean, really just neurodiversity in general with people. But with ADHD, your struggles are stemming from executive dysfunction. And so if you read up on executive functions of your brain, it has to do with things like multi-step planning, working memory, emotional regulation, and attention. And so you try and think of ways to combat that. And I think that having a partner to help you is super important. Even if you don't hire a professional, have a really trusted, non-judgmental friend or family member, or you know, if your dog lends you support, that's great too. But your partner can help keep you on track. They can hold things up for you so you don't have this. There's this thing called tactile sympathy, where when you touch something, it brings back all these memories and you're less objective about it. And that's a way for someone with ADD or ADHD to go down a path and like get stuck. So so someone can hold stuff up for you. Make it fun. Having fun playing games is so, so important. Put on some music. And then also make things really obvious while you're organizing and sorting through things. And then when you're organizing things back into your space. So what I mean by that is use some big bold post-it notes that say things like, these are my donations. This is recycling. This is trash. This is stuff that I want to ask somebody about. And so you don't forget which pile is which, or which box is which, and it helps keep you on track. Also, small focus. Don't think about doing like a whole entire room all in one day. Focus on a drawer. F- focus on a desk, focus on something that is small and manageable that can take you an hour or less. And if you take little small bites, then that will help you achieve your problem in a more realistic way. I mean, achieve your goal in a more realistic way.
Kate Fisher from the Need is there. Also our guest, Casey Fregoso from Bracket and Bin Organizing. And Casey, once we've decluttered and once we've taken those first steps in organizing, you know, there is this entropy where it just starts to happen all over again. How can we maintain our organization throughout the year?
Yeah, so my biggest tip for that is just creating systems for things that routinely will enter your home. So I like to always give the example of your child goes to a birthday party and they come home with a bunch of little party favors and things like that. So I've had a lot of parents make a rule that these favors get to live in our house for 24 hours and you can play with them. And then after that, they can be donated, or if they're, you know, used little tattoos or something, they can be tossed. Or even for kids' artwork, you can create a place to display their newest masterpiece. And then after a new one comes in, you can swap it out and display that one. And then you can have a memory box to keep all your favorites. Or you can even use, I would also think of using digital apps and things like that, so that it creates less clutter, physical clutter in your home. Mm-hmm.
We'll have to leave it there, but I want to thank you both for joining us today. Casey and Kate, thank you both.
Oh, thank you. It was great.
Casey Fregoso, founder of Bracket and Bin Organizing, and Kate Fisher is the founder of The Neatest, talking to us today about decluttering, organizing, the feelings that come with that, and then keeping it that way throughout the year.